Gracious God, loving, full of mercy and full of grace, may the words that I share come through my thoughts and through my heart and be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. As I read the gospel reading for today, and as familiar as I am with this scripture, I could not help but to think over and over again what it must have meant to everybody involved. This was not just about a dying man, Lazarus. This was not just about the brother of Mary. This was more than friends, all knowing that their dear friend Lazarus was dying, and they wanted to be with him so much. We have all had loved ones pass on to be with the Lord, and we are of a strong Christian faith and know that there is life after death. But death is so hard for everyone to face, regardless of their faith. What we had here in the gospel is everyone trying to make sense of what is happening. Jesus tells them that Lazarus is asleep, and I am going to awaken him. But they think he simply means sleep, as in the word, he is still alive. And Jesus has to tell them plainly that Lazarus has died. Then Jesus stays for two more days. See, he could not leave when he had heard that Lazarus was dying, regardless of how much he loved Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And he stayed because it was the will of his Father. However, his obedience to his Father was a much greater gift to them than had he left when he first knew he was dying. We often see the work of God at a later time than when it was asked for or when it was expected. And I'm sure that him staying the extra 2 days played heavily on their minds. And then Thomas the twin, he said, "Let's also go so that we may die with them." And I'm sure they found that very confusing as well. And may I also add that it is clear in a certain sense that Jesus was willing to put his life in danger by going to Bethany in a town close to Jerusalem. But he was willing to do so. And it's possibly clear that the sisters of Jesus knew that Jesus could have healed their brother from a distance because he had done this before for others. However, we know that Jesus was not in immediate danger at that time because he was doing the will of his Father. So when Jesus does arrive, he can see that there was people gathering. They were consoling Mary, and they were all together in the house, just as it would be for each of us if we were facing the death of a loved one. And Martha came out and said to Jesus, "If you were here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus tells her that he will arise again, Martha shows her faith by saying, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And then when Mary is told the teacher wants her, she comes to find Jesus, and also, just like her sister Martha, says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." In this gospel, we hear Mary, Martha, and others all telling Jesus that if he had come sooner, Lazarus would not have died. Jesus is getting blamed. How often do we lash out at God for something that has happened? I know that I have heard this and I have done this, and that it's natural that people will say, "Why did God let this happen?" But what is more natural is the fact that God is so tough and so full of love that he can take the anger against him and console us at the same time. And Jesus did not get angry. Jesus wept. When he went to where Lazarus had been laid, Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews that were with her. And then we heard those words, "Jesus began to weep." I have seen this written in Scripture many different times, but the words are always the same: Jesus wept. This is where we really see Jesus at his human self. I'm sure the events of that day had a huge effect on the lives of all that were there. They saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. They heard Mary and Martha both share their faith in Jesus as Lord and in the wonder of the resurrection. The gospel tells us they became believers that day. Their lives were changed. Through sorrow comes a blessing. Through sorrow, God can and does work in many different ways to affect many different lives. Often is much later when we can see when and how it was that God was at work in our own lives. This gospel helps us to know that we are simply by our faith and by our baptism called to love and care for others, to be with others when they are facing their most difficult times. Can we not see the face of Jesus in all? I have a story I want to share with you about a time and a date that had an effect on my life and how God can be at work through many difficult times. Also with this, I want to talk about an important scripture that I want to reflect on for just a moment that's tied into the story that I will share. The scripture is known to all of you as a Good Samaritan. An expert had come up to Jesus, and he was testing Jesus, and he said, "Who is our neighbor?" And Jesus talked about someone who had been robbed, beaten, and left on the side of the road. And Jesus had talked to three people had walked by, two of which just looked and even crossed the road, and the third that helped. And Jesus asked the expert, "Who is the good person of the three?" And the response he received was this: "The one who showed mercy." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise." May 3rd, 1999, the day of the worst tornado strikes in the recent history for the states of Arkansas and Oklahoma. 66 tornadoes touched down in one major storm, the worst being a Category 5, ripping a path of destruction through the outskirts of and into the city of Oklahoma. 48 people died, and $1.1 million worth of damage was done. Go and do likewise. I was called by a member of my parish. I was not ordained at that time. Somebody asked me at the 8 o'clock. I was not ordained at that time. I was called by a member of my parish, and she was trying to get a group of people together to go to Oklahoma City to see what we could do, and asked me to join. I was very reluctant to do it for a few reasons. For one, I knew I would have to give up one-third of my annual vacation to go there for the week. I also knew that I was not used to being chaperoned, and I also knew that I liked to be in control, but I decided to go. The person arranging this, Bethany, how ironic is that? Bethany's the town that Lazarus was from. Bethany made some calls, and this is what she accomplished in just a few days with, I'm sure, the hand of God at work. She arranged for a church in Oklahoma City with families that would take us into their homes while we were there. Southwest Airlines donated 10 of the 12 airplane tickets we needed, and Ford Motor Company donated two vans and a 15-passenger van for our use and work while we were there. Our home parish gave us a little bit of money for expenses, and we were off. And I might add that a parishioner at that parish in Oklahoma City, after finding out about the two young men that paid for their own tickets, wrote them a check to pay for their airplane tickets. We met the first morning at the Church of the Resurrection. How good is that? We're talking about the resurrection. We were at the Church of the Resurrection, where a group of people met us for morning prayer, which we would do each and every morning we were there. And then we were off for fulfilling days, working at warehouses, sorting donated goods, and working for people, helping to clear piles and piles of debris. One afternoon, we went to the FEMA headquarters that was set up in Bridge Creek, a town just outside of Oklahoma City, which is one of the hardest hit areas. They assigned each team a name, and our code name was Detroit One. And while we were gathering to go to our first assigned location, we were met by a group of Red Cross volunteers who gave us gloves, who gave us water, and some food. That was the first of many Red Cross volunteers we saw while we were there. Each day was started with great excitement and anticipation of where we would go, what we would see, and what we would do. And no matter where we went, whether it was a gas station, a restaurant, any place, if people saw us and suspect we were from a different area. They were all grateful and told us so for being there. The devastation was unbelievable. Entire blocks of homes were gone. A single staircase might be the only part of a house that was left standing. One day I saw a young man standing, holding his daughter in his arms. And I approached and I asked, "Is this your house over here on my left?" And he said, "No, I live in that house over there." And he pointed to a bare cement slab where his house used to stand. We went across the street to help a 73-year-old woman clear all the debris from her land and her property. And she told us of the tornado that day and that she was the only person in a 5-mile radius with a tornado shelter. 28 people and 3 dogs took shelter with her, and they all came out to see everything was gone. Her house was untouched. God was good and hard at work. Go and do likewise. Well, en route back to the airport, our final stop was the Alfred P. Murrah building site. This was the building that was destroyed by Timothy McVeigh and his bomb a few years earlier. There was a fence surrounding the site where the building had once stood. We were standing there, and there was a fence full of mementos that people had left, the family members, the friends, and just strangers. One of the things that were there, and I remember so much back then, were 50 different bracelets that had WWJD on them, which at the time meant, "What would Jesus do?" And as we turned to leave that very sad site, we walked across the street, and we saw a black marble statue of Jesus that stood 10 feet tall. It was a beautiful work of art with Jesus' hands up in his face in sorrow. And the inscription on the bottom of that statue simply read, "And he wept." Many of us also wept at that sight. In closing, when we left on the trip, we had a journal book that we had taken, and we'd asked everybody to share their feelings and their thoughts on the way there and while we were there. We'd asked people that had worked, that we had done work for, if they would please write things in that journal. And then finally, on our way back, we all wrote our final thoughts and words in that journal. I have no idea whatever happened to that journal, but I will never forget the simple words that the youngest person traveling with us had written down. He wrote down, "For the first time in my life, I am stopping on the side of the road to help and not just slowing down to look. Go and do likewise," and may all God's people say, Amen.